Blog Talk Radio.
Juneteenth Film and Edutainment Festival in Houston, which you can find out about at drboycehouston.com. That's drboycehouston.com. I'm going to be here for 3 days, so if you missed today, you can still come out for the next couple of days. Anyway, I was thinking today about this stuff I was reflecting on this morning as I was getting ready. It had to do with Hillary Clinton and this upcoming election. I hear a lot of people that, you know, when it comes to voting, I don't think that we have a whole lot of sort of critical analysis sort of happening. We have a lot of what I call parakeeting, political parakeeting, which is basically where you have one message that is just sort of repeated ad nauseum and no one really thinks it through. Everyone just repeats it because somebody told them to say it. And I think it comes down to when, you know, people talk about the black strategy in the next election. Now, I'm not one to tell you exactly what strategy I think you should pursue. I'm not interested in doing that right now. What I will say is that anybody who discourages you from laying all the ideas out on the table is usually not your friend. They usually have a bias. And so I've seen all the different campaigns. I've seen a lot of people that will say, like people I respect, like the Jesse Jacksons of the world, et cetera, who will say you have to vote, or Democrats will come to black churches and they'll say if you don't vote, you don't count. Our ancestors marched. They'll tell some story about, you know, people marching in Selma and, you know, and bad things happening to them because they wanted to vote, things like that. And they tend to do these things when it's election time, when they're trying to, you know, keep their power. And honestly, I just see it as a complete mindfuck. I see it as a lot of times a bunch of, you know, just a lot of manipulation, because I think that there are people who believe black people are easily manipulated. Black people are easily fooled. And it's, some people, I mean, the evidence is pretty bad, you know. And so, anyway, what I was thinking about was, you know, I saw other perspectives. Like, I saw where Tariq Nasheed was actually, if I'm not mistaken, somebody said to me, they said, did you know that Tariq Nasheed is telling black people not to vote?
Alabama 50 years ago.
As the civil rights demonstrators made their way across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, they were met on the other side by a group of state police officers who attacked them.
The violent images outraged the nation, drawing national attention to the denial of voting rights for millions of African Americans.
I had to go to the courthouse, stand in line, and vote.
50 years later, civil rights activist Nims Gay returned to the Birmingham courthouse, where he and other blacks questioned white county officials who rejected their constitutional right to vote.
What you're really trying to do is intimidate these people, and by making them stand in the raid, keep them from registering to vote.
Why do you think you're superior to me? Don't you realize from one blood all nations flow? Or is that something you don't understand? And see, that irritates them. But see, don't let them worry about nobody. Irritate nobody. When you're right, you're right. And when you're wrong, you're wrong.
Following legal challenges, blacks were allowed to vote. He says the fight was hard but worth it.
A voteless people is a hopeless people. Don't care whether you're black, white, green, or gray. If you can't vote, you're messing up.
Retired teacher Gene Smiley was among the first blacks allowed to vote in Montgomery, Alabama.
A lot of people around in Montgomery and surrounding areas, so many of them were really afraid to go and try to vote.
If you had a job, just trying to register was enough to get you fired. And in addition to that, they would even fire some of your relatives.
Days after Bloody Sunday, Hank Sanders marched with Martin Luther King and thousands to Alabama's capital, Montgomery.
The power of the vote seemed so powerful to those who had it that they didn't want anybody else to have it. And they were doing everything they could. They were using every mechanism at their disposal to stop it.
The accomplishments that we made didn't occur by themselves.
Civil rights lawyer Fred Gray, who represented King, won a court ruling to allow the successful march from Selma to Montgomery.
It is the effort of American Negroes to secure for themselves the full blessings of American life.
Gray says less than 5 months later, President Lyndon Johnson signed the 1965 Voting Rights Act into law.
Voting rights was a key because it opened the door for so many other things. Because if you get people to vote, they can elect individuals to office. These individuals who are elected in office have the power to appoint hundreds of other people to elective office.
I do believe.
Back in Birmingham, Nims Gay sings the civil rights anthem that inspired him and so many others in this struggle for equality.
The Lord is on our side today. Deep in my heart.
Chris Simpkins, VOA News, Birmingham, Alabama.
We shall overcome.
Call into the cultures that unite.
Thanks. I saw the African American church that endorsed Trump, and I loved everyone there. And I really appreciate what you do. I have a question, and
okay.
I think you might want to give the facts on this. I never knew that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican, and I thought that maybe during the Civil Rights Movement that he was the leading activist for it, and that African Americans should be equal to all other colors of Americans. So I want to know, can you give us the facts on how Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. became a Republican, and how would he think about what has happened to the African American community in this country right now?
Well, great question. Thank you so much for calling in. And I want to, again, thanks everybody who's calling in. And I just want to answer that question with facts. First of all, just understand this. And as was stated earlier, the Republican Party was the party of abolition. It was the Republican Party that was formed to free slaves. It was out of the center of the circumference of the Republican Party. Their main platform was freeing slaves. And so it was out of that time that the Republican Party has always been known up until the Civil Rights Movement as the party for the freemen, the party of the black families, the party of the black communities. It was the Democrats who, you know, out of the Democrats is the Ku Klux Klan. Out of the Democrats were the Black Hands and the other hate groups at the time that terrorized black families, lynched black families. It was, Democrats who... during the Mississippi burning time period. I mean, then when the Civil Rights Movement came up, it was the Jim Crow law and the Democratic Party. Remember, George Wallace, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. That was the Democratic governor of Alabama that made these cries. And it was, but you got to understand what took place. Very, very, very simple event took place. When Dr. Martin Luther King, who was just beginning to make a name for himself, and keep in mind, Dr. King was a Republican because, again, the Republican Party was the party that was viewed by many blacks up until the Civil Rights Movement as the party for African Americans, because this was the party that led the abolitionist movement that freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln, once again, a Republican. And so it was out of Robert Blair, the Blair family, who formed and created, birthed the Republican Party, was built on the back of freeing slaves, leading the abolitionist movement. So now, moving forward to Dr. King's time period, Dr. King, who came out of the Montgomery Improvement Association before the NAACP, there was the Montgomery Improvement Association, and it was out of that group that he was led to help fight Rosa Parks and help win Rosa Parks' case. We all know what took place there. But out of that movement created a national movement that started the Civil Rights Movement, where other people from other southern states and places up north were beginning to raise up and to realize that black people were not equal, and they were verbal about it. Now, fast forward. During the presidential race between John F. Kennedy and Vice President Nixon, Richard Nixon, the incumbent president, Eisenhower was leaving the White House. Richard Nixon was vice president for 8 years, a member of the Republican Party, was friends of the white of the black families. And then the moment when Martin Luther King was first arrested, Coretta Scott did not call the Democrats and JFK. Coretta Scott King, Dr. Martin Luther King's wife, picked up the phone and called Richard Nixon, the friend of the black family, the Republican current vice president, Richard Milhouse Nixon. And she said to him, Dr. King has been arrested. Dr. King is in jail. Is there anything the White House can do? This is where politics begin to get into play, and this is where I believe black people, the Republican Party lost black people, because it was at that moment where Vice President Nixon had his hands tied because President Eisenhower, who was on his way out, refused to get involved with the Civil Rights Movement. He was on his way out. He was not part. He didn't want to get his hands dirty, and so therefore Nixon did not have the okay. It was at that moment where not Robert Kennedy, but one of the aides, the cousins of JFK, his name eludes me, but his name was a captain or a major. His name was Major. I can't remember Major's last name. But Major was an aide of Robert Kennedy, a cousin of Robert Kennedy and JFK. And Robert Kennedy was completely against getting involved for the Civil Rights Movement. The Democrats, they did not want to offend their southern constituents. JFK did not want to get involved with the Civil Rights Movement, but Major understood that there was a moment that they could take to their advantage, because they understood if they can get the power of the black vote behind them, then JFK would have a real chance of winning the White House. When Robert Kennedy, remember, who was completely against getting involved in the Civil Rights Movement, left out the room. Major was able to talk to JFK privately and convince him to pick up the phone and call Coretta Scott King as a sign of a good gesture to work on getting him out of jail. Once that took place, and the power of JFK calling the magistrate, that is what freed Martin Luther King from the jail cell. Now, once he was free, Dr. King, who never met with JFK, never met with Robert Kennedy, never met with anyone a part of the Democratic Party, had rumored that JFK, Senator Kennedy, had a hand in getting him out of jail. And Dr. King praised him publicly for helping him get out of jail. At that moment, Senator Kennedy, the Democrats became the voice of the Civil Rights Movement because Martin Luther King began to work immediately helping push Kennedy, and he was able to tell everybody, part of his constituents, Dr. King, that it was Robert Kennedy.
That if you and I are going to live in a black community, and that's where we're going to live, because as soon as you move into one of their, as soon as you move out of the black community into their community, it's missed for a period of time, but they're gone, and you're right there all by yourself. We must understand the politics of our community. then we must know what politics is supposed to produce. We must know what part politics play in our lives. And until we become politically mature, we will always be misled, led astray, or deceived, or maneuvered into supporting someone politically who doesn't have the good of our community at heart. We will have to carry on a program, a political program of re-education to open our people's eyes, make us become more politically conscious, politically mature. And then we will, whenever we get ready to cast our ballot, that ballot will be cast for a man of the community who has the good of the community at heart. And once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there castrates you. Right there it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. Why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up.
We just cannot.
They've become disenchanted. They've become
Again, it would not behoove us if we didn't talk about this upcoming election. Dumbfounded. That's me personally. Like, this is outrageous to be very, very, very honest. Does anybody have just immediately like some candid thoughts about this upcoming election that you wanted to share? Me personally, you had something to say.
No, there's no words.
There's no words. You know, there was a long time ago when somebody pointed out something to me when George W. Bush was president, and he was meeting with Angela Merkel, who's the Chancellor of Germany. Angela Merkel, from what I understand by trade, is like a nuclear physicist. And it was like, look at this nuclear physicist, and look who represents America. And it's like, nuclear physicist, who represents America? And, you know, even before we get into the African-American issues that surrounds this election, just like, what does it say for America that Donald Trump... Oh, it's come down to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Like, these are our choices. Like, this is where we are in 2016 at a pivotal moment in history. And this is where American politics, what it has come to. Like, I personally think that this particular election has opened a door for a whole lot of foolishness to come behind it. Like, I think that is just totally a popularity contest. It doesn't have anything to do with intelligence, fitness to run the country, past experience, a resume, education, nothing. It's just about who has the best soundbite and how popular I am and how I could confuse the masses. I don't even know what to say because I'm totally confused.
Well, I wouldn't say that it comes down to it definitely comes down to soundbites. But I wouldn't say that it's about like intelligence and who's fit to run the country and all that type of stuff, because Hillary Clinton has an extensive resume. However, she does approach this election just like, The sense that I get from her is just like, this is my time, this is my turn, and you need to get on board.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you didn't know.
Uh-huh.
It's my turn now.
Yeah.
And that's just the consensus. That's what I get from her. I don't feel that she hasn't earned my vote. I feel as if I were to go to the polls to support her, it would simply be because I don't want Donald Trump to become president. And I think that is the general consensus of many of her supporters. And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about, like, of course, we can't let him become president. But what does it mean for me do I have to throw my support behind somebody who I don't necessarily think has my best interests at heart?
Well, let me pose a question to kind of piggyback off of what you're talking about. One of the biggest things that's often thrown in your face as an African-American person is this, right? Like, I have no desire for Hillary Clinton to be president. I have no desire for Donald Trump to be president, right? Here's the question. Anytime you say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to vote, the first thing that people often throw in your face is,
your right to vote.
People died for your right to vote. Yeah, your ancestors fought for that. People got beat over the head for that. Like, you know, am I the only person that, personally, I don't want to be guilt tripped into voting.
Yeah, I think that you can look at it a different way. They died for your right to vote. They didn't die for you to have a vote. Those are totally two different statements. And so when you can interpret what they're saying as, I have the right to vote, but I don't have to execute that right every year if I don't feel like it. They died for me to have the right, not to execute. And so if you think about it like that, then I feel like you can make a more conscious decision of whether or not you want to vote or not.
Right.
And do it all because you want to, not because
you feel pressured.
Yeah, you feel pressured to do it.
No, because I had this conversation with my father, and his response was, well, not voting for Clinton is the same thing as voting for Trump. And I think that's what a lot of people think. But honestly, I don't think I don't think they're synonymous at all. If you go to the polls and you vote for someone, in my opinion, it should be because they are representative for the change that you wish to see. And she has not won me over. At this point, I don't see why I should rally behind her. And if I did, it's simply because of what the alternative could be.
You know, I just kind of look at it from a very basic standpoint, too. Just as, I don't know, maybe as a man, nobody's going to punk me into doing anything. So, and that's what I feel like with this election, like people telling you, like, oh, if you don't vote, like, same thing you said, like, if you don't vote for Hillary, you're voting for Trump. Like, I'm a grown man. Like, let me tell you something. Like, furthermore, look, neither of them are good for me, and furthermore, I just choose to walk away. Like, you know, and I'm not even necessarily saying that that's what I will do this election, but I should have the right to say that. So don't try to guilt trip me into anything, because whenever somebody tries to guilt trip you into something, it's probably not good for you to begin with. That's just my personal opinion.
But herself.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up.
It took a president to get it done. That dream became a reality because we had a president who said, we're going to do it, and actually got it accomplished.
You voted against the Civil Rights Act in 1964. Would you do so today?
I would have to vote against it.
In 1964, during the presidential election of that year, I was a Goldwater girl. I mean, really, we used to wear, you know, little banners which said Goldwater girl.
We profoundly disagreed with the forms of the welfare reform bill.
By the time Bill and I left the White House, welfare rolls had dropped 60%.
you know, many years after that, when many people are pronouncing welfare reform a great success, you know, we've got growing child poverty, the poor are suffering.
Then they'd have to talk about the Clintons' past. The same Confederate flag Bree Newsom took down from above the South Carolina State House represents the exact same slave-owning and traitorous Confederacy for which Bill Clinton signed a resolution stating that the highest star on the Arkansas flag represented. To this day, they still have an official Confederate flag day. And not only did Bill and Hillary never say anything about this, but for 12 years, they celebrated the Confederacy too. I wouldn't want to talk about my past either if I were them.
While I was working on those streets, watching those folks see their jobs shipped overseas, you were a corporate lawyer sitting on the board of Walmart.
The persistent scourge of child labor.
I'm always proud of Walmart and what we do.
Clinton also took a role in supporting a Buy America program.
One of the reasons we want to buy America is because we love America.
Walmart continued to get most of its products from overseas during its Buy America program, including from this factory in Bangladesh that used 11- and 12-year-old girls.
The persistent scourge of child labor.
When he was in trouble in the polls over Jennifer Flowers, he went back to Arkansas, of which he was still governor, and supervised the execution of a mentally disabled, in fact, a lobotomized black defendant called Ricky Ray Rector. He didn't know he'd been sentenced to death. He didn't understand when they came to give him his last meal what was happening. Or any other week would have received clemency from the governor because there was no one in the prison thought he should be executed. The prison chaplain resigned on the issue. It was like killing a child.
So it was President Bill Clinton who escalated the drug war far beyond what his Republican predecessors even dreamed possible. It was President Clinton who championed laws banning people with criminal convictions from access to public housing so that people wouldn't have housing upon release from prison. It was the Clinton administration that championed laws denying even food stamps under federal law to people who were once caught with drugs. To a large extent, the basic architecture of this new caste system was championed by a Democratic administration.
Not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heel. 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 Bring them to heel.
The woman who was standing beside Bill Clinton when he signed the Welfare Act admitted before she died that it was the wrong move, that working didn't help her. She worked at a job where she made a little bit of money, and even if she made, after she made a little bit of money, she still couldn't afford her medicine. Clinton used her just like he used black people, just like Hillary Clinton is using black people now. I'm kind of tired of being used.
By the time Bill and I left the White House, welfare rolls had dropped 60%.
6 million, 2% of our population have no income except those food stamps. The food stamps is the sole thing that stands between them and being totally without any income.
I want to talk about this story that CNN.com put out dealing with the recession worsens racial wealth gap. Whites have a net worth about 20 times that of blacks and about 18 times that of Hispanics. Who's to blame for this?
She was very close to Robert Rubin, to Lawrence Summers, to the people in the Clinton administration who gave us the radical deregulation of Wall Street. So they're the ones that opened the door to the Wall Street thieves that brought on the Great Recession.
Hillary Clinton has not been a friend to black people. We're not just talking about mass incarceration. This duo has gutted and devastated the black community. You can draw a line from the evaporation of black wealth in the black community back to the deregulation of the Clinton years. I would be hard-pressed to find, in recent memory, another president who's been quite as damaging.
Perhaps the most important records to take a look at is really the records of the Democratic Party.
In this campaign, the nation has had to forgive you early and often. We have forgiven you your misspeaking about Martin Luther King's relative importance to the civil rights movement. We have forgiven you the 3 a.m. phone call commercial.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
We have forgiven you President Clinton's disparaging comparison of the Obama candidacy to Jesse Jackson's.
Jesse Jackson won South Carolina twice in 84 and 88.
I think people want change. I think they want to get beyond some of the racial politics that has been so dominant in the past.
We have forgiven you for your boasting of your support among working, hardworking Americans, white Americans.
Senator Obama's support among working, hardworking Americans, white Americans, is weakening again.
We have even forgiven you repeatedly praising Senator McCain at Senator Obama's expense and at your own expense and at the Democratic ticket's expense. We have forgiven you the photos of Osama bin Laden in an anti-Obama ad.
Now, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June. Right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June.
This nation's deepest shame, its most enduring horror, is political assassination. A person who can let hang in midair the prospect that she might just be sticking around in part just in case the other guy gets shot has no business being the President of the United States.
We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June.
Today is the 12th of January 2016, 6 years after the earthquake. And for us, it was important to be in front of the Clinton Foundation because Bill Clinton, as head of the interim Haiti Recovery Commission, was responsible for the $6 billion. He had unlimited control of this money. 6 years after the earthquake, Haiti is in worse condition than it was in 2010. Only Bill Clinton can tell the world what happened with this money.
We cannot keep imprisoning more people than anybody else in the world.
Does no one else see the hypocrisy? Forget about super predators in the 1994 crime bill. When Hillary Clinton said this, she was actively using lobbyists from two major private prison companies to raise campaign cash. Even now, she has campaign staffers that lobby directly for GEO Group on her payroll.
It was one of the highlights of President Clinton's first term, passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement, also known as NAFTA. 14 years later, critics blame NAFTA for the loss of manufacturing jobs in industrial states, including Ohio and Pennsylvania.
I have been a critic of NAFTA from the very beginning.
Clinton has also said that she made her position clear.
I was one of the voices in the administration warning about NAFTA.
Newly released White House...
All right, mathematical truth, supreme science, timeless motion. This is Evolutionary Radio, where all things and everything evolves and progresses. So, got an interesting topic tonight. Tonight's topic and segment's name is going to be entitled "Vote is Joke" and "Don't Let Anyone Lie Otherwise." And that's pretty much self-explanatory because you shouldn't let anybody tell you or lie to you otherwise. This last election that you all have had is and was one of the worst. And I don't mean that like any of the other ones were any, you know, they were any better. Matter of fact, they were better. Although any better as far as of good. Although this one here was the absolute worst. They claim, or it's proof, that in fact the election itself was hacked. And that point as far as it being hacked, it's a point that, you know, all this voting you've been told to do, that if you you don't vote, you know, you can't say, you know, that any, that you made a difference in anything, or you can't complain if you don't vote and all that. Well, those of you all who voted and did all that, you still got an unjust election. You were right the first time before they told y'all at Hogwash that, you know, your vote don't matter. These people going to do what they want to do anyway. And this last election, the totality of it proves that it is indeed a waste of time. It always has been. It just hasn't been this blatant to you today. It's very blunt that your input don't matter. These people are going to do what they want to do. Some of y'all might say, well, it was hacked. You know, that wasn't the American government that did it. It was, you know, the Russian government. You know, the FBI and the CIA found these people to hack the election. So our system does work, you might say, because it had to get hacked. Well, let's say you had that benefit of doubt. Knowing all this, that their so-called election or whatnot was hacked and infiltrated, knowing all this, still ain't did nothing about it. You know, usually if something's false, you know, they disqualify a runner if he was found cheating, or they use enhancements or whatever. They'll strip him of. They stripped Marion. They stripped her of her gold medal and some of these other runners and whatnot. They stripped them because they had been found cheating. Are using enhancements. So this is another part on why the presidential election is such a puppet show, why people like Ronald Reagan and other people were actors and all kind, you know, no political or governmental executive experience at all. You might say, well, he was a governor of California like Arnold Schwarzenegger was. Maybe the case. He still was an actor. So that lets you know basically what the requirement is to do that. Now, I was going to say, one second here. I was going to say also with that, that, you know, again, you're told to vote. You're told to, you know, the churches have been in line telling you all to get in the ballot line and get out there and participate and vote or whatnot. You know, Martin Luther King was a Republican. But y'all voting Democrat. That's what, matter of fact, one clip said that. He was a Republican. Like you all call Abraham Lincoln. And he was a Republican. So of all of these people that stood for black folks were all Republicans, then why the Democrat Party? Is it that they switch? Is it that the Republican Party now is the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party now the Republican Party? Could that be it? Whatever the case is, things have changed. And I'm going to get back to those things. And basically the bottom of this forged election here that is really being accepted. If it's not being recalled or counted out or dismissed, it's being accepted. With all of this proof, with all of this governmental information. And so, well, what? You're saying you want Hillary to? No, it doesn't matter. I don't give a damn who. They all, my point is they all are puppets of the elite. So it don't matter who's in there. They're going to do what these people want. That's why this doesn't matter. That's why a race or some sport, a boxing match, if they were found cheating, that's why that's more, that has more value than this election, than what you were told on making a change and, you know, your vote matters, and if you don't vote, you can't complain about nothing. You didn't do nothing to stop Trump. No, I was saying, well, yeah, if y'all would have got out there and vote, Trump wouldn't have won. But it's proven the election was false. So if it's false and this country has accepted that, what the hell does that say about what this hogwash they've been telling you? How does that have any credibility based on this is going on blatantly in your face? But you're still told your vote matters. Get out there and vote. Get out there and make a difference and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's basically what we're going to be speaking on tonight. So, with that said, I'm going to take a brief clip here on Malcolm X and what he originally said on Operation Vote. I'll be back shortly.
They've become dissatisfied, and all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who it knocks out the way. Understand this, it's dangerous. You'll see this young black man, this new generation, asking for the ballot or the vote. That old Uncle Tom action is outdated.
The young generation don't want to hear anything about the odds are against us. What do we care about odds? When this country here was first being founded, there were 13 colonies. The whites were colonized. They were fed up with this taxation without representation. So some of them stood up and said, liberty or death. So I went to a white school over here in Mason, Michigan. The white man made the mistake of letting me read his history book. He made the mistake of teaching me that Patrick Henry was a patriot and George Washington wasn't nothing nonviolent about old Pat or George Washington. Liberty or death was what brought about the freedom of whites in this country from the English. They didn't care about the arts. Why, they faced the wrath of the entire British Empire. And in those days, they used to say that the British Empire was so vast and so powerful when the sun would never set on it. This is how big it was. Yet these 13 little scrawny states, tired of taxation without representation, tired of being exploited and oppressed and degraded, told that big British Empire, liberty or death. And here you have 22 million Afro-Americans, black people today, catching more hell than Patrick Henry ever saw. I'm here to tell you, in case you don't know, that you got a new generation of black people in this country who don't care anything whatsoever about us. They don't want to hear you, old Uncle Tom, handkerchief head, talking about the eye. No. This is a new generation. If they're going to draft these young black men and send them to Korea
Mom.
Or South Vietnam to face 800 million Chinese.
Somebody sitting in a bed someplace. Democrats are putting it out because they suffered one of the greatest defeats in the history of politics in this country. Personally, it could be Russia.
He called on Russia to hack Secretary Clinton. So he certainly had a pretty good sense of whose side this activity was coming down on.
I think we ought to approach all of these issues on the assumption that the Russians do not wish us well.
A reaction to the intelligence reports suggesting that Russia not only interfered in the election, or tried to, but also wanted Donald Trump to win. Donald Trump tweeting out this weekend, can you imagine if the election results were the opposite and we tried to play the Russia CIA card? It would be called conspiracy theory. Continuing, unless you catch hackers in the act, it is very hard to determine who was doing the hacking and why wasn't this brought up before the election. Speaking of the election, the Clinton team now saying they want the electors to learn about all the intelligence involved here. John Podesta saying electors have a solemn responsibility under the Constitution and we support their efforts to have their questions addressed. This is not a partisan issue and we're glad to see bipartisan support in Congress for an investigation into Russia's role. We believe that the administration owes it to the American people to explain what it knows regarding the extent and manner of Russia's interference. And this has to be, or this be done as soon as possible. John Podesta with the Clinton folks. With that, let's bring in our panel. Matthew Continenni, editor-in-chief of the Washington Free Beacon. Mercedes Schlapp, columnist for the Washington Times. Susan Page, Washington bureau chief at USA Today. And syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer. Okay, Susan, the importance of the Podesta comment is that the electors meet on December 19th, and they choose how many go to Donald Trump and how many go to Hillary Clinton?
I think there is no actual prospect that this is going to affect what electors do.
Why does this loom to be such an explosive political year? Because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't find them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And as they make these false promises, they're going to feed our frustrations. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican, nor a Democrat, nor an American. And got sense enough to know it. I'm one of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. Million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close, they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. I was in Washington a couple of weeks ago, while the senators were filibustering. And I noticed in the back of the Senate a huge map. And on this map, it showed the distribution of Negroes in America. And surprisingly, the same senators that were involved in the filibuster were from the states where there were the most Negroes. Why were they filibustering the civil rights legislation? Because the civil rights legislation was supposed to guarantee voting rights to Negroes in those states.
And those senators from those states know that if the Negroes in those states can vote, those senators are down the drain. The representatives of those states go down the drain. And in the Constitution of this country, it has a stipulation wherein whenever the rights, the voting rights of people in a certain district are violated, then the representative who's from that particular district, according to the Constitution, is supposed to be expelled from the Congress. Now, if this particular aspect of the Constitution was enforced, why, you wouldn't have a cracker in Washington, D.C. Like me saying that, but I'm not the kind of person who come here to say what you like. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. Up here in the North, you have the same thing. The Democratic Party don't do it. They don't do it that way. They got a thing that they call gerrymandering. They maneuver you out of power. Even though you can vote, they fix it so you vote for nobody. They got you going and coming. In the South, they're outright political wolves. In the North, they're political foxes. A fox and a wolf are both canine. Both belong to the dog family. You're going to choose a northern dog or a southern dog. Because either dog you choose, I guarantee you, you'll still be in the doghouse. This is why I say it's the ballot or the vote.
All right. The ballot or the bullet. Oh, hypocrite Malcolm, you know, spoke a lot of truth during that time. I don't even need to get in that. Although, the bullet, that ain't necessary. It's just the ballot or do for self. You don't need no bullet. You don't need no revolution whatnot. You just need to go for self. Produce for self. Build for self. Self meaning like minds or your kind with like minds. So you ain't gonna build anything just base anything on skin. That has never been produced where people has came together and built things just based on the skin or the melatonin in the skin. That ain't never happened. So simply having your own police in your own communities that are complaining about the police, you know, instead of begging for jobs, job creation. Quit giving your money to the churches that ain't doing nothing for you. Or make them responsible since they are taking just as much money as the Koreans and everybody else. And you're paying for their mortgages and cars and Bentleys or Hummers or whatever the hell they have, Cadillac. Since that is done based on your resources, you going to work every day, putting in a collection plate. Since that is taken from you, they should be obligated to produce for you, since they have your resources. Now, if they didn't have your resources, that'd be something different. Then you go blame the white boy and say, oh, hey, he's taking our resources. No, he ain't taking you. You're giving your resources away to churches, to consumerism, to hair and fake nails and Gucci purses and coaches and all that. Michael Jordan shoes. So you give all your resources away to things like that. You're paying $600 for a damn purse or wallet or whatever. It ain't worth it. Well, at least you build it if you do. You know, the Gators wouldn't be bad if we were making them. If that money was being recirculated amongst self or amongst community, then it wouldn't be that bad. Getting this article here. This is on the okay. Well, I'll just play the clip then. We'll just do that. So that way I don't have to do a bunch of reading.
Kirk, good morning. You wrote American intelligence officials know that Russia used cyber attacks and some misinformation to interfere with elections that in Western Europe. What have you learned that could actually pose a threat to Tuesday's election here?
Well, the biggest issue going on here is that it's not just American intelligence, but the intelligence services overseas and the NATO alliance are absolutely know that Russia using hacking and disinformation interfered with the German elections, interfered with the Brexit vote, and now is interfering with the American elections to prop up Donald Trump. And what is terrifying our allies overseas is that Trump has been briefed on this. Trump knows all about it. And then he stands up and says, I don't believe it. I believe Vladimir Putin. And so this is really frightening our allies.
I mean, Mike Flynn, General Mike Flynn, who has been part of these intelligence briefings with Donald Trump, joined me just 2 days ago and didn't answer the question around do they know, were they told by intelligence agencies that Vladimir Putin and Russia was behind this? Help us understand, what exactly do we know, we think we know, about Donald Trump's ties to Russia?
Well, the biggest thing with Donald Trump and Russia is that, you know, he really, I believe, is emerging as a useful fool. That's a term used in spy parlance, which basically means somebody who doesn't understand what's going on around him. Putin despises Hillary Clinton, and this originally started as an anti-Clinton attack. That's why you've been seeing them going after the Democratic National Committee, her campaign. They have gone after places like the Brookings Institute, which is, you know, a think tank in Washington that tends to lean towards the Democrats. And they've downloaded tons of information from the State Department. In fact, what's funny is that had Hillary Clinton been using the State Department unclassified system, the Russians would probably have her emails. But in doing all of that, Trump has been told what we have. Trump has been told what our NATO allies have. The President of the United States has stood up and said, this is happening. We're in a cyber war with Russia. And Donald Trump is standing up and saying to all Western intelligence, I don't believe it. It's some kid or it's some 400-pound guy lying on his bed. It's terrifying, the United States.
All right. Very interesting stuff. I'm trying to figure out where to start. Wow. Well, we do know. Well, I've been sharing for a long time about cyber warfare, cyber wars. Pentagon getting hacked, and you know, a lot of military files have been hacked out of the Pentagon over the years. Other secrets, you know, and just different, you know, hackings going on. And basically, so I'm trying to explain how the cyber warfare works, because it's not really warfare, like physical warfare, although it is war. Countries over the internet or through their computers, you know, trying to get different information from one another and looking for, you know, same as in any other warfare, you're looking for weaknesses in your enemy, you know, that art of war thing. You know, use your enemy's weaknesses against them. So America's been guilty of doing the same thing. Matter of fact, not too long ago, they had a assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin's life. There's a video of him. Matter of fact, it was on video. His car, there wasn't nobody taking the video. It was on a freeway, and they have camera footage of the accident. And he was on the opposite side. And somebody just crashed their car into him, trying to kill him. Instead, they killed one of his favorite drivers, from my understanding. The guy, they must have been, you know, pretty close or friends or whatever. But the driver was pretty dear to him. So he walked out of that knowing, of course, where all this came from. Wasn't a secret. The guy that hit him worked for the CIA. You know? So it's not a coincidence of what's going on. And it's going to increase. It's going to increase. The key idea, what you need to know, is war. Warfare. It's a war going on. Just because you ain't seen nobody's head getting blown off or them losing a leg or an arm or whatnot, it ain't to that level. Although the key idea is war is war. It don't matter what level that you come in with war, war is still there. War is still no peace. You don't give peace in war. You're not looking for peace to be the peacemaker. Also, he's saying that it's a bunch of hogwash, that nothing happened. All of the proof. And now I heard they're getting a lot of his cabinet members that were tied in with the Russians or bought by different countries. These same patriotic people that's telling you they want to change this and do this and do that. And you finding out they nothing but sellouts to other countries that don't have your best interests in mind. Not that your country does, neither. If your country had your best interest, then so many things of death wouldn't be so easily accessed to you, like McDonald's and cigarettes and bad alcohol, GMO foods. They want to kill you. Profit a little money off of you if they can, too. Buy the pitiful house or the hospital. Then they got you. You go in, they treat you for one thing. Next thing you know, all kinds of things breaking down wrong with you. It's not natural. It's not nature they're using. They use just enough nature in it to trigger or trick your body. Meanwhile, all these chemicals are being filled in your body. You got a drop of nature just to keep you alive for another day or so, or to the next till you need your next set of pills. The prescription addiction. And if you don't get them things, you start feeling, you know, different. So that's the idea there. Let's see. Something else I wanted to get on this voting thing. Hopefully it'll come back to me. I know what we can. Know exactly what we can get into. All right, let me take a clip here, and then I'm going to come back and get into some other business. So, trying to think here which clip I'm going to get into. All right, we'll just do this one here. I'll be back shortly.
Claim that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. This video is my definitive response to that claim. I was inspired to do it because of a recent video by Black Republican Alfonso Rachel, which you can watch by clicking the link below. So let's get to it. Was Dr. King a Republican? No way. To explain, let's look at some of the issues that Dr. King supported indisputably. And as we do, I want you to ask yourself how those views square with the views of the Republican Party. 1. Dr. King wanted to help poor people. At the time of his death, he was working on an initiative called the Poor People's Campaign. One of its stated goals was to get Congress to pass a sort of economic bill of rights. And he was against war in general and the Vietnam War in particular. This opposition gained him almost as many political enemies as his positions on equality. He was also in favor of large-scale government programs to help the disadvantaged. He was in favor of something that looked an awful lot like affirmative action, saying, quote, a society that has done something special against the Negro for hundreds of years must now do something special for him in order to equip him to compete on a just and equal basis, end quote. He was in favor of labor unions and was assassinated while preparing to speak in Memphis, Tennessee in support of the sanitation workers' strike. In 1961, he said, quote, in our glorious fight for civil rights, we must guard against being fooled by false slogans such as, quote, right to work, end quote. It is a law to rob us of our civil rights and job rights. Its purpose is to destroy labor unions and the freedom of collective bargaining by which unions have improved wages and working conditions of everyone, end quote. He was in favor of national voter registration standards so that all Americans would have the same protections of their right to vote. And on and on and on. Now ask yourself this question. Do Republicans really support a single issue that I mentioned? Are they not the anti-poor, anti-affirmative action, anti-voting rights, anti-peace, and man, oh man, are they ever the anti-labor union party? Okay, you might be thinking to yourself that with so many right-wingers saying that he was a Republican, Dr. King must have claimed to be one. But maybe he was really just a rhino, a Republican in name only. Did Dr. Martin Luther King identify himself as a member of the Republican Party? No, never. No one can provide a quote from the dozens of speeches, sermons, interviews, and written books by Dr. King where he calls himself a Republican. This is backed up by a spokesperson for the King Center in Atlanta, the official repository of some 200,000 documents by and about Dr. King and his legacy. The spokesperson told the National Journal, quote, there is absolutely no confirmation that he was a Republican, end quote. Well, does anyone close to him identify him as a member of the Republican Party? No. His wife, Coretta Scott King, has suggested that Dr. King didn't want to be associated with either party. And that makes sense. He was interested in solving problems, not partisanship. In 2008, his son, Martin Luther King III, said, it is disingenuous to imply that my father was a Republican. He never endorsed any presidential candidate, and there is certainly no evidence that he ever even voted for a Republican. It is even more outrageous to suggest that he would support the Republican Party of today, which has spent so much time and effort trying to suppress African-American votes in Florida and many other states, end quote. Disingenuous is a term nice people use when they don't want to call you a damn liar. And no, none of his other children have suggested he was a Republican either.
All right. Oh, great. It's running slow now. Oh, well. Was Martin King, you know, someone saying, well, he's the only one saying no, but what he bases on are what proof he has is that the things he stood for couldn't be, I guess, Republican-like. He didn't, none of these guys have any proof of what he was actually registered under, what his registration card was under or whatever. He's just talking about based on him helping the poor and being against Vietnam and all this stuff, that's non-Republican. So, interesting stuff here. Only some things was working today. We could really get into a lot of other things. So the CIA and the FBI both confirmed the hack. We did a topic on all these people that, like Fairy Clown and all that, that claimed that this is going to help, you know, Negroes, and this is what they needed and all this other stuff regarding to the election. I mean, it's not much else I could really originally get into on that. So hopefully I can get this running. If not, hey, we'll just spin it in there like that. Key idea is the thought and the idea was not to the forefront, or it was manifested. Okay, we're running. And that thought is an idea that you all are full of crap with all this voting crap. Or if you need a more blatant version, you all are full of shit. Straight like that. If you let anybody else tell you some bullshit about you should vote and why you should and all that, you have become 100 times more of a jackass than you already was. In other words, you're already a jackass. You just intensified being a jackass 100-fold. So that means you are a jackass to the 100th degree. That's pretty high. So that's all in essence there. If nothing else has got out of tonight,
sure,
that go tell them people, all those Negroes and niggats that told you, you know, like D.L. Hughley and all these other house niggas on here. You know, D.L. Hughley be the main one running his mouth about this and this and that. Or about Trump bashing every time on the show and stuff. But you told niggas to vote, man. You told Negroes that their vote mattered and Trump wouldn't be there if they voted. You put that out there. And as if Hillary would have been any better. Nothing. Just because they told you to vote and punch D, you know, still don't negate the fact Democrat means ruler of the devil. It still don't mean you had, not only you had a Democrat recently, you had a Negro Democrat He ain't stopped y'all from killing. He ain't got y'all all these jobs you crying and complaining about and bringing. Kind of like what Ronald McDonald Trump promised to those rural area white boys. And he gonna bring the factory jobs back and all that. As if these companies didn't leave in the first place for cheaper labor. So they're going to come back, give you your $15 to $20 an hour or whatever, and benefits. It's a dream. It's hogwash. He don't know who's going to pay for the wall and things he's going to get. And like what's his name said, have they forgot about El Chapo and all these the Mexicans that build tunnels underground. First of all, you ain't going to stop no Mexican. You have a better chance of stopping roaches than stopping hungry Mexicans trying to get over here, trying to find somewhere better than where they're coming from. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash. All right. I thought I had my computer up and going, although it keeps coming in and out. So hopefully we gain something from tonight. And we were able to simply know the time at hand. All right, with that said, I'm going to end this. Time is motion and supreme paradise.